if you can understand that in the past we've talked about how the human race died on the cross on Passover. It says, the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. From God's standpoint, the human race died on the cross. Everybody understand that a little bit? So all, if the human race died, then all attempts to better the human race are vanity above vanity. The Hebrew word for that vanity is Beth Aven. Beth Aven means house of futility or house of wickedness. Or, and in a real sense, the Feast of Passover continues all the way to the Feast of Pentecost. And on Pentecost, it's like the seal of the death of the world happened on Pentecost. You understand that? It's like it was the seal of the death, the imprimatur of the death, because eternity entered into the universe on Pentecost. And once eternity entered into the universe, then everything else by definition is futile. You understand that a little bit? And so the readings, many of the readings of the Law and the Prophets for the Feast of Pentecost talk about this even the best of Adam, the best of the human race, which was Israel, is now futile. It's an empty, and if Israel was the best, then the rest of us have really gone to nothing, right down the tubes. And so it's important, in order to apprehend Pentecost, you must apprehend this futility. And that's why the reason for this counting of the Omer from the Feast of Passover to the Feast of Pentecost, that count, those 50 days, are the days of contemplation of that. The days of, no matter if you got everything you think you wanted, it's still futile. No matter if you got everything your little heart's desired, it's still, you're still going to die. Something new had to transpire. And that new thing that transpired was a new race of people was created on the Feast of Pentecost. That has nothing to do with what anything looks like. This new race of people can only be realized in the base, the weak, the despised, and the foolish. It cannot be realized in strength, in success, in nobility, or in all of the value systems that the human race says are valuable. You understand? That's why, from God's standpoint, you are there to justify yourselves among men, but God knows your hearts, for everything that's highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. Look out among your calling, brethren, and see that not many noble, not many wise, not many mighty men are called, but God has chosen the base things of the world, the things which are despised, the foolish things, the weak things, to confound the wisdom of the world. Thing that pisses God off more than anything else is if he called you in that base position, in the weak position, and then you use the things of God to become, try to become mighty and noble and all the other horse shit that the human race has said is down the tubes anyway. You got that? And you understand, up until this point, you've spent half your life as a believer trying to gain the thing that you've already destroyed? Do you understand that a little bit?
I think I do for the first time. I think I just heard something that you said. I think I understand that if the best that
that a human being could be wasn't good enough, then there's nothing a human being can do.
That's right.
Human beings have had it.
That's right.
It's like a cow. The best cow it could possibly be.
Can't fly.
Can't fly.
Pig can't fly.
Forget it. It's not going to be a bird. And God don't want cows. He wants birds.
Does everybody understand that? Can you stop then this incessant attempt to try to be a better Adam? As you received him, so walk you in him. Think about that as we read. This is the reading, this Hosea reading, which is written to the best that the human race could be in God's mind. Okay? It's Hosea 10. You got that? You got that picture?
1:10?
No. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Missed it by that much. Israel is an empty vine, barren, futile, brings forth nothing of value. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Can you hear that so far?
That's enough. It's the thing we read maybe last night about the guy, or no, it was next to what we read, but I noticed it's about the publican praying and the...
I thank thee, Father, that I am not like these other men.
He prayed with himself.
Yeah. Israel is an empty vine. You are an empty vine. You bring forth fruit unto yourself. Daily. It's the rare thing when you don't bring forth fruit unto yourself. You're consumed with self-interest. It's starting to piss God off. You know enough. You've heard enough. You've heard all the mysteries. You're without excuse. Not one thing that you have ever brought forth fruit unto yourself has ever brought you anything but misery, and yet continually, day by day, you do it over and over and over. You insist on your own way, constant, 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 constant. You get upset if people don't respond to you the right way. You bringeth forth fruit unto yourself. You spend half your life in your, half hell, 99% of your life thinking about yourself, rather than proceeding, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, or transformed into that same image, even from glory to glory. But what do? We look around and we see ourselves. How can this benefit Watusi?
What?
It's Korean for me.
Oh, I read it.
You understand what worship means? Worship is never optional. Everybody is worshiping. By definition, the word worship in both Hebrew and Greek means something you give breath to. You give something life by what you give importance to, by giving it breath. Therefore, you worship it. What are you worshiping today? What are you giving breath to? What are you giving life to? What are you attempting to give life to? That's what you sacrifice to. That's what you pay tithes to. That's what you present yourself the living sacrifice towards. Pissing God off. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given unto you freely. But seek the thing that you worship, and everything that you have And every time you earn anything, you'll earn money to put in a bag full of holes, and the little that you retain, he will blow on it. And you'll wonder where it went. The Feast of Pentecost is the seal of death upon the human race and the birth of the new thing that is only revealed in your abandonment, that doesn't see flesh, that doesn't see by the senses. I don't know how I can preach it any harder. You understand? I don't know what other words I can say. I don't know how else I can show it to you in the scriptures. I don't know how else I can show it to you by parables or by metaphors. I don't know what else can be done. Israel is an empty vine, bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Thought we'd get past verse 1 here. Let's now, you see, maybe you don't agree with me. Maybe you're sitting there saying, well, he doesn't understand me. The fruit I'm bringing forth or trying to bring forth is different. My concerns are righteous concerns.
Well, I was talking to Matt about this today, about all the concerns and how they're just a hassle.
They're stupid. Like, they're just plain stupidity.
It's a weight. It's work. It's like, and yet, I get caught up in little things that, until I get to the point where I'm just like, then I think, wait a minute, what am I doing? I mean, the fear of God enters in if you can keep that. I mean, that's the only thing that keeps you from, entertaining all these things so long, is because, that enters your mind and you think, I've got a lie to stick a dynamite. What's going to happen?
My God is a consuming fire, or my God is light. It's the same issue, the same instance, it's the same thing. To Israel, he's the light that lighteth the way, the light that giveth light, the light that's so bright even the light is its garment. But if you are bringing forth fruit unto yourself, my God is a consuming fire that will destroy you. And the Holy Spirit, rather than working to edify, i.e. build up the bride, build up the body, knit us together in love as you're bringing forth fruit unto yourself, the Holy Spirit will become your worst enemy. He will cause your worst fear to come upon you. It's your choice. How long? Until you come to repentance? How long until you go to battle with the only thing that's keeping you from peace and love and inheritance and joy? How long? Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. You understand that? Every time there's a new thing, there's a new place of worship. There's a new altar of worship. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm going to give my meaningless life meaning by a new idea. I got a new deal. I got a new thing that I'm going to pump the energy into to give this meaningless life some semblance of meaning. Hallelujah! I can even be taught how to put the name of God on all my little altars. Unless everything you do in thought, word, or deed is heartily as unto the Lord, then what you are doing, and the test of whether it's unto the Lord is whether you care what happens. Do you understand that? Now, if you care what happens. If you care what happens, it's the proof you're not doing it unto the Lord. You're doing it unto man. You're doing it unto yourself. You're bringing forth fruit unto yourself. There's no eternity. There's no component of eternity in that thing, that deal. So what it is, it's just, it's Beth Aven. It's a house of vanity, a house of wickedness. Another, and you built all, Beth Aven is the little, all these little places that you've built to worship. Some of you got about 500 of them. This is where I think this is important, and this is important, and this is important, and this is important. And then God is important. So Hosea said earlier, all you've done is make God your chief Balaam. You're just one among innumerable gods, but you've acquiesced, you've thrown a sop to God and said, yeah, but you're my chief God. You're the chief one I'm going to give importance to. You think that sop to God is going to satisfy. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images, impressive idols. Goodly. I said, I was on that show KRLD the other night, and I said, no one has ever worshipped a stupid god. Not one person in history has ever worshipped an idol. You understand? Everybody thinks they're worshiping the right thing. They're giving importance to the right thing. Until you come along and you meet some idiot like me who says everything in your mind, everything you've ever learned, every impression you've ever had is wrong. You're a product of the fires of Molech. You've never had an original thought. You've never had a new idea. The board of governors from all of the ancient idiots that were your heritage have produced a system of thought that only continues the idiocy. But you say, my idiocy is good. And then we come along and we think, some person is important, or some project is important, or something is important. They've made goodly, I love that word, goodly images, impressive. Am I communicating to anyone?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Their heart is divided, double-minded. No focus, no singleness, no consistency, no faithfulness, no abiding. They're just eating. Well, I'm just out here eating one blade of grass at a time, and pretty soon you're in Guam. How'd you get lost? Their heart is, because your heart is divided. Because you have made the lie, you believe the lie that you needed more than you have at any given moment. Their heart is divided. Now, and this is the reading for Pentecost. You got that? Since the beginning of time, Hosea 10 was read on the Feast of Pentecost. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. Paul said, I was just running around lusting after everything, and then I found out lust was, there was a commandment that says, thou shalt not lust. We were just running around, thinking all the thoughts, doing our own shtick, until we found out that anything but abandonment of self was sin. Do you understand? Have you ever heard that before in your life? That anything other than abandoning yourself, totally giving no thought for your life, giving no thought for the next moment, giving no thought for tomorrow, anything other than that is sin? Now shall they be found faulty. Do you understand? I mean, it's not, forget me as a personality, but do you understand that it would have been far better off if you would have never met me.
Oh yeah.
In terms of the life of this world. In terms of the age of this world, I am your worst enemy. You understand that?
So is the age of this world.
Yeah, I was going to say, second worst enemy, first worst enemy was the age of this world. I mean, it spit me out.
But that's what you as a believer must be to your world in order for you to make a disciple. You've got to be, in your world, you've got to be that world's worst enemy.
So rebellion is good.
From the standpoint, if you understood what that means.
This is how God turns rebellion to good.
How much did you drink last night?
How long was it?
Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. The word isn't spoiler. It's a much stronger word. It's ravage. There's a lot of things you don't want God to do. You don't want him to visit you. You don't want him, there's a lot, anyway, one of the things you don't want God to do is ravage you.
What hope?
Their heart is divided, now shall he be found faulty, he shall break down their altars, he shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Guess what it says there? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a vow.
Even in the context of, you know, the cutting the covenant kind of deal, that's still pretty bad news.
No, but this is a different word. They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a vow, thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. In other words, what they have planted is their poison.
Yeah. Bring forth a crop of poison.
Stone of flesh.
Yeah, it's not a flesh reap corruption.
Because they sowed to the age of this world, to something that was going to transpire in the age of this world, instead of sowing to eternity. Now, the danger you're always in. That's why it's... Barbara and I were talking that, you know, the 3 years that the disciples spent with Christ, they were with him night and day. The idea that there, that no... In that three-year period, there was no mystery that wasn't fully explained. The mysteries of the covenant were explained. The mysteries of the tabernacle were explained. The mysteries of the offerings were explained. The mysteries of the stars were explained. So that each of the disciples saw and knew clearly. And then just before, well, just in this period between Passover and Pentecost, after he was resurrected from the dead, he came on these disciples who had heard all knowledge given unto them, who had understood all mysteries, and he blew on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And then what happened? 6 or 8 days later, these disciples who had all mysteries revealed unto them, all knowledge of the universe, and had the Holy Spirit blown unto them by the resurrected Christ, they decided they'd return to their old way of life. Sir, we go a-fishing, we return back. So nothing, that was the last, In a real sense, the Christ blowing the Holy Spirit or presenting the Holy Spirit on that flesh was the flesh's last chance. And then they tarried a while in Jerusalem, and whack! Eternity opened up, and fire came across and settled on 120 of the disciples, the number making the new community. And never, ever, ever again did the human race have a chance. That's the meaning of Pentecost. I am so tired of the drivel that goes on in the name of God. They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a vow. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the sacrifices of Beth-Aven. Now, this is a good one, because the Samaritans were the worst. This right here is like the worst insult you could give to Israel. The inhabitants of Samaria, who are the worst, I mean, the Jews couldn't even touch their land, they were so bad. They couldn't even put a foot on the land of Samaria. Shall fear because of the sacrifices of Beth-Aven. Now, Beth-Aven, remember, the house of vanity. And that's what they now, what that implies, it's the house, even the temple itself that's standing in Jerusalem, and all of their synagogues. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the sacrifices of the houses of vanity that are named the houses of God, but in truth, the synagogue of Satan. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall also be carried into Assyria for a present to King Jareb. He's just a king. Ephraim. Now Ephraim is what? You remember? Ephraim is the code name for the 10 northern tribes. It's Israel and Judah. And Ephraim and Israel are synonymous. Judah is the two southern tribes, where it's the tribe of Benjamin and Judah. The only reason that, those two tribes continued was because Benjamin was responsible for what?
The temple artifacts.
The temple, and Judah was responsible for
the bloodline.
So they had to continue until the seed of Christ could be made perfect. And once that it transpired, and it was made perfect when it fell into the ground and died, then they've lost their function.
So you said Ephraim and Israel are synonymous?
Yeah. But also Ephraim is also synonymous. The wine of Ephraim is the wine of self-seeking. Remember, you know how good it feels when you really get pumped up, you're really making a deal?
Pride of life.
It shall also be carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. So much for Samaria. The high place is also of Aven. The sin of Israel shall be destroyed. And you understand? How many people have been to Israel or the Middle East? When you go into Egypt or to Greece or to Israel or to Lebanon or to Syria or to Jordan, all those countries for which were the biblical lands, what you see on almost not every mountaintop or high hilltop, but what you see is you look up and you see a grove of trees, a cemetery, and a little house of worship. That's a picture of your mind. Can you stop and think the ludicrousness of ancestor worship? They're dead! They're fucking dead! And you're trying to prove they have some value! Oh, my ancestors were this. The high places also of Aven, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars. And they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall upon us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle of Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. I don't know. Oh, I know what it is. They shall bind themselves in the furrows they've dug and drink their eat their own poison of the hemlock. Okay. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods.
Wow.
What does that mean?
That means they're only serving a purpose for something else, some other seed that's coming up that has nothing to do with those identities. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And that's the rain, the latter rain of the Feast of Pentecost. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou did trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. You understand? I mean, can you? They probably weren't as mean as I was just was, but in every Pentecost since Moses, this was read. And nobody understood it. A very few. Please don't be among them that don't understand. Consider it carefully. It's the only thing that will give you the hunger for the Holy Spirit. To know that everything else is Beth Aven, the house of futility, the house of wickedness, the house of iniquity. Everybody hear that a little bit? Go to Isaiah 40. Now I think I've given you enough to think about. Anybody have any response? Okay, take it large person.